This is the Saturday morning thing of ours, our version, where we get to go through a few things. I'll give you an adumbration, kind of a review, kind of a thumbnail sketch of what you need to pay attention to, what is critical, what is necessary. As always, I start off with this. We have 185 days until the election. 185 days. And if you were to spend any amount of time and watch the various media platforms, you would be amazed at how little people understand, how little is explained, and how little is really addressed in terms of the complexity of what's happening. America, and I don't know about the world, but I'm going to say America. America hates complicated. We love simple. We love simple. We love base. We love very, very, very simple things. And we have changed as a society. I don't know when. There was a time in this country when the suicide of Hemingway made sense and got people's attention, when Picasso was in the news, and Dali, when Einstein came to this country, there was a celebration of Einstein. America's was more cultural. And I don't use that word in a pejorative way. I mean, smarter, aware. Our education meant something. Our degrees meant something. We meant something. We gave up on thinking. We gave up on being able to process things and understanding really the rudiments of what goes on. Every day I think to myself, I'm having the hardest time explaining to the world, not you, of course, but to the world, how does this thing work? And there are great, great, great examples, I think. And I say this all the time. Joe Rogan and Lex Fridman, who provide really arcane, rather recondite, deep subject matter into a variety of subjects. They also seem to enjoy this notion of the appreciation of the complex. And I keep saying the arcane, but they like it. It's fun to them. It doesn't tax them intellectually. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't stretch their brains. It's easy for them to understand and to grasp. And there's a couple of things that are going on right now, and I'm going to do a video later. And I always think to myself, some of the stuff is like, I know this isn't going, I don't know if this is going to meet the common algorithm. I don't know if most people are going to find this to be as fascinating, but I don't care. I'm going to say what I think is interesting. And what I am going through right now, not going through, but where my head is at, as the kids say, is in a couple of areas. First and foremost, the New York trial and the trial system of what President Trump is going through. I don't think Americans really grasp that. They've never understood courts. They just don't get it. They cannot understand multiple plates, multiple issues, multiple subject matters being spun simultaneously. Whenever somebody shows incredible insight into something, they will always disappoint me. I mentioned there's a show called Breaking Points, and this crystal ball is so contaminated by the fact that all protest is valid in her mind, that she cannot wrap her head around the fact that you cannot seize a campus building and break windows. You can't do this. That when you lose order, when you find yourself in the position of having lost all order and control, things escalate. She can't get through that. Even though she shows a tremendous sagacity to understand the complexity of what's going on right now. We're going to be talking about that. And how, what is the most exciting, is how science might be giving up and saying, you know what, there might be something to intelligent design. But before we begin, my friends, listen to this critical word from our critical sponsor. It's no longer a question of if something catastrophic is coming, it's when. And while you still have control, still have time, what are you going to do about it now to prepare? Your first step is going to my website at preparewithlionel.com. Preparewithlionel.com. Your next step is stocking up on multiple four-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. And for a limited time, take $50 off a four-week emergency food supply. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help you prepare. They've helped over 2 million families already. These four-week kits with Ready Hour Foods provide over 2,000 calories every day, 16 varieties, 25-year shelf life, breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks, drinks, and they're sealed inside 2 31-pound rugged waterproof buckets, and they last up to 25 years in storage. Take advantage right now, my friend, and go to preparewithlionel.com. That's preparewithlionel.com. You've heard me say this a gazillion times, and I'm going to say it a gazillion and one times. The sign, as Scott Fitzgerald said, the sign of an advanced mind is being able to handle seemingly inconsistent thoughts simultaneously without losing your mind and your sense of focus in the meantime. To be able to handle so many things and nuance it. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, I like President Trump. I think the trials are excessive. I can understand a little bit about why he's being charged. I can understand the difference between this charge and this charge. I understand this is what's going on in the world of law. It's not right or wrong. It's left or right. And especially when people jump into something for the first time and they realize that all of a sudden they're an expert in this. It's like we saw this during the OJ case. People jumped into it. All of a sudden they said, this is terrible. And we thought, where have you been? And they don't have to be anywhere because, as you know, they are experts. They are experts in everything. Experts in everything. Experts in everything. Name the subject. Name that they are experts and they are experts. That's that. As I mentioned to you before, I find this so fascinating. And I don't know what it is. I have a bias. I think a lot of times there is age is the reason and experience. I don't think people have seen enough of what goes on in the world. And I also think people don't understand how important it is sometimes where you think I'm a loved and beloved media person right now. I'm Candace Owens. I'm Joe Rogan. I'm whoever it is. And it starts to kind of get to their, it gets to their head. And I've seen this forever. When you realize I'm really something. I'm really important in this. People, I saw it right around the time when Rush Limbaugh came about. People who were in the longest time in radio. Radio was just like, oh, you're doing an overnight shift. And they had the guys, you know, with the pukers and the voices and all this. The radio guy, the disc jockeys. Oh, my God. They sounded like that. And they lived in a world and spoke a lingo that does not even. There's a show, if you could somehow catch it, I think it's on Sirius. It is so good. It is so good because it's 70s cornball, cornpone, boss jock, whatever it was. But when Rush Limbaugh came along and all of a sudden they said, hey, wait a minute, I want to do this too. And they said, no, 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 this is political. No, 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 I've been in radio. Well, you've been in radio. Yeah, but I've been in radio. I've been, and I can do this because I'm in radio. And this is, radio is fungible. If you can do it, I can do it. I can talk about this. You can talk about this. We said, no, this is a different story. And they said, no, you don't understand. And then all of a sudden, you will never understand. And I'm so glad I was there, really upfront and personal, when Rush Limbaugh blew it up. And Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern did more to make radio really. Stern was kind of the, you know, it was critical because people loved it. It wasn't known for its intellectual. It was just pure shock them and, you know, that kind of stuff, which is fine. And I'm not speaking negatively about it. But all of a sudden, people that I knew said, hey, you know what? Channel 8 called me up and they want to have me on a panel show to talk about what my listeners are thinking. And whenever anybody had me on any TV show, what I would say, they say, what do your listeners say? I said, well, I don't know what my listeners think. My callers say something, because talk radio used to be this thing called call. And what is the most important? What is missing? What is missing from everything you're seeing right now is the ability for people to call. We have this wonderful means of people talking, and you can also talk to each other, which is a great thing, but it's almost like a side bet. It's like if you went to any kind of a crap game, there's what's going on in the ring, and then there's the side bet. There's what's going on the table and the side bet. And the talking is the side bet. And this platform never took into account the caller. If they can figure out a way to do live calls where somebody picks up a phone and you hear a voice, that's what's great. And that separates the men from the boys, taking the calls. We don't do that anymore. You don't see that. It's the host. And then there are people who they have this. There's one show in particular where one show almost has contempt. They have contempt for the sponsors. They have contempt for the whole thing. It's like, they're too good for this. They're too good for this. Why am I pushing something about a VPN? I'm better than this. I'm the star. I'm the expert. Okay, let's get this sale out of the way. I don't have time for this. No. Wait a minute. It's Andy's birthday today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Andy's birthday. And we must always stop. Thank you, Gracie, for letting us know. Who is it? Mr. Carmen? Is it? Is that it? Is that, would that be the Andy we are speaking of? I'm sorry. I should have spent more time. Oh, Andy Carmen, ladies and gentlemen. Andy, by the way, as you know, is 86 years old today. Andy, bless your heart. Thank you. Andy's been having some mobility issues. And of course, I'm kidding. I have no idea. We love you, Andy. Thank you for being a part of our family. Thank you for being a part of the team. And thank you for sharing your presence and your love and your spirit with us each and every day. We wish you the best, my friend. Many, 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 many more to you. Many, many, many more. Seriously. So, going back, I was watching this. I don't know why. It's on my routine, my whatever. And you get these people. And it's like, I love to say, you haven't really thought this one through yet. Why? Because you don't understand the other issue. You're talking to friends of yours. See, there are groups of people. I'm always asking myself to check, to test, to say yes, but there's a lot of gray in the area. Look, I understand that what is happening right now between Israel and the Palestinians, and you can argue, we can say, is it Israel and Gaza? Is it Israel and Hamas? Who is it? Who are these people actually? It's a fascinating subject. Fascinating subject. Something that is, I think, worthy of our insight and the like. And we could talk about that, and that's wonderful, and that's great, and that's terrific. But I'm going to ask you one question. Do you think anybody has the right to take over a building, a university building that they go to? They are students. I don't know what they think they have by virtue of the fact that they're a student. But why can't we take over and commandeer a TJ Maxx? Why can't we all lock the doors, deface the walls from the river to the sea, and say, we're not leaving? And you would say, well, you're trespassing. They're trespassing at the university. Yeah, but that's different. Why is that different? Why can't I go into a TJ Maxx and take that over? Why can't? Have everybody leave. Don't kid them. You all can leave. You all can go. Everybody go. We're going to have a team of keffiyeh-wearing folks outside. They're the media. And we're going to demand food and water and demand police protection. And we're going to bang our drums and we're going to stop the commerce. Just like other people are going to say, you want to go to school? I'm going to stop it. You want to graduate? I'm going to stop it. Right after COVID and everything else, I'm going to stop it. Why? Because my right to say something. And by the way, I agree with it. But my means by which I speak and celebrate my disagreement with you outweighs your ability to shop here or to go to school here. Now, we want to talk about that? Let's talk about that. I would love to sit at a table and have somebody very calmly, very simply, whether it's, and I like Brianna on that other show, which is just like second rate. The Rising or whatever, but the Breaking Points is very good. And say, I'm not arguing about the issue. Remember, because I'm compartmentalizing the argument. I agree with you as far as what's going on there. But do I get to protest anywhere? Is that it? Can I stop traffic? Tell me can I block your building? Can I do that? I'm going to take over your, let me see, Starbucks. Your what would really bother a college? I don't know. That's the issue. Why does my I know it's been done in the past. First of all, you disagree with the Vietnam War? Excellent. Yes. Why do I get to spray paint a building? That happens. That, by the way, it's not my building. It's their building. Why do I get to destroy? It's the whole thing about looting. You don't understand. No. That's bullshit. Why are you looting? Well, no, because we... Why are you looting your neighborhood? Well, it's not our neighborhood. It's not your neighborhood. Yeah, well, we're upset. I'm upset too. I'm not destroying anything. I'm not going to turn tires. Why are you getting... Well, we won the championship. We won the Big Ten. And you're turning cars over? Well, it's a tradition. This tradition stops right now. So please tell me. First issue I'm going to say, why is it? Why? Why is it that your ability to say this, and you're not there, and I'm not going to ask whether you really understand the issues or not. I'm not saying that. Why is it that you get to go to that university? By the way, that's our problem. Those dorms, those buildings, those are historical. Now, if you have a problem, for example, with having statues that pay homage to Civil War generals, I can have a debate with you, certainly, but you're not going to knock them over. That's my statue, too. We'll get to that later. And by the way, you know what it is? I think what's interesting? I'm going to counter-protest. What do you mean? Well, see that bus coming with all these people? See that bus with all the protesters? And we'll get to outside agitators and all that stuff. Yeah, I put some spike strips across the street. Yeah, wait till the bus goes over. It'll flatten, it'll stop everything. Stop dead right in your tracks. Why? Because I'm protesting. I'm protesting on behalf of the IDF or Israel or counter-protesting you. Or this is the way I protest. You can't do that. Oh, yeah, I can. You can stop the commerce at Columbia, I'm going to stop your truck. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to shut it down. Why? Because I'm protesting. Because my right is correct. I'm right. I'm more right than you. I'm correct. I am. I'm correct. I get to speak. I do. Me. Listen to me. You don't understand. I don't want to hear about you. I'm morally superior. I've got a show, and our show, we have this one, and I've got this guy and that guy, and we're support. I've got Candace Owens, you've got Ben Shapiro. So I want somebody to tell me right now, seriously, please tell me. We'll talk about From the River to the Sea and all that stuff later on. Why do you, and it's been going on since day one, why do I get to, remember, a little bit of protest caused a little bit of problem. I understand this. I have to meet. Yeah, I'm going to cause a little, you know, traffic. I understand that. That's acceptable. But spray painting? Do you see what they did to UCLA? And I'm going to put barricades? And I'm going to mess everything up? Why? And how do you think this is helping the people? Hey, good news, Gazans. Yeah. Hey, I know many of you all are basically in the midst of famine. Many of you mothers do not even have enough food and nutrients and protein, as you say, to even breastfeed. But good news, they took over Hillis Hall at UCLA, and there's an encampment outside where they have plywood, and they wrote Free Gaza. They spray painted Free Gaza. And there's a chick out there banging a snare drum, and they're wearing keffiyehs, and some even have a Hamas headband. So good news for you. This will be wrapped up pretty soon, because some 20-year-old named Moondog and his girlfriend and some trans something or other decided they're going to speak. And one lady, by the way, good news, Gazans, good news for you. There's a woman, her name is King Slutsky. It's hyphenated. And she, Johanna King Slutsky, she's a PhD candidate. She's an expert in media. She said that, and this is important, listen to me carefully. She said that they're upset because their student food vouchers were canceled. There you go with that, huh? Huh? How you like that? How you like that? So anybody want to talk about that? Anybody want to discuss that? No. Because they think that for some reason this is their first rodeo. And they came along, and they've never, ever really involved themselves in this. And I recognize it, and it's good. And listen, I think, believe it or not, I know you don't think I'm saying this. I think it's wonderful to see people honestly, seriously, taking part in something other than themselves. I really mean this. I think it's important. I really do. But answer me this question. How does this thing work? How? Ask this question. Now, here's my question to you. Chris, and again, Crystal Ball, she's very nice. I like this style. Everybody has this style. She has this camera. Cameras here, okay? She does this. She has, like, her neck is. And she looks like a. And I think that, just watch this stuff. Everybody's got stagecraft. I notice mannerisms. I know the way people do thing. I always like it. It's a unique style. It's like I hurt my neck kind of a thing. And I want to ask her a couple of questions. Now, Crystal, have a seat. Good, good. Have a seat. Now, Crystal, do you think, let me just go through the usual thing. Does Israel have the right? And I think, and I kind of make fun of it because there's more to the argument, but we got to start off with this thing. Do you think Do you think that Israel has a right to do something when they're attacked by anybody, whether it's the Houthis, whether it's Al-Aqsa Brigade, whether it's the whoever, Hamas or Fatah, Iran or Hezbollah? When Israel proper is attacked, do you think they have the right to respond? Or should you say, sorry, we're settler colonialists and we abnegated and gave up and abandoned any right that we have to retaliation because of our behavior? Is that what you're saying? No, you're not saying that. I know you're not saying that. Okay, so do we agree? One, let's do it logically, right? Let's tick this off, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, Israel has the right to defend itself. Makes sense? Good. Makes sense to you? Everybody? Somebody might say no. Israel gave up the right. Israel just takes it. Okay, if that's what you think, let me know. Israel just takes it. Israel should have known. Good issue. Side issue. You see, main issue, derivative issue. Was it an inside job? Good issue. Side issue. Put that in. Was this lie hop or my hop? Very good. Let it happen on purpose. Make it happen on purpose. Good side issue. Next subsidiary issue. This is a logical framework. Main issue. Does it have the right to defend itself? And by the way, if it was, if they were negligent or if they kind of looked the other way, does that mean that they waive any right to retaliate? Yes or no? If there's yes, then they can't. So we have to follow through this. Crystal, I keep using her as an example. I really am a big fan, but just as an example, they've never been through this. Never went there. Because they talk to people who agree with them and they never get. Unless you talk out the issue. Can I give you a little bit of spiritual advice here from me? From your Uncle Lai here? From Leon? Can I tell you one? You know it works for me? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you the best advice you've ever heard in your life. Think I'm kidding? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. When you're having a hard time, when something's bothering you, when you're feeling upset, I want you, by yourself, nobody around you, whether you're driving or in a shower, a bath, or whatever, but you're by yourself and nobody can hear you, I want to pretend you are explaining how you feel to somebody. Say it. Put it into words and imagine you were talking to somebody who has no idea why you're upset, why you're crying, whatever. When you say something, when you put it into words, you go deep into your soul to find out, do I understand what I'm even talking about? What is it that is upsetting me? What is it? I don't care how obvious it is. A death of a relative. Tell me. Explain it. Why are you afraid? Well, I mean, not afraid. Why are you upset? I'll miss her. I feel guilty. I should have done more. Okay. Now we're getting it. We had a fight and she died before. I will always have that guilt. Good. Let's keep talking. Guilt. What is the reason for your guilt? How long should you feel guilty? Does guilt absolve you of your wrongdoing? Let's talk about that. Keep talking. Talk to me. Talk to me about how you feel. Say it. When you start talking, you realize, I don't really know what's the matter because I never put it into words. In order to articulate something, in order to explain it, you have to understand the issue. And you're not talking to yourself because you've lost your mind. You're doing an exercise. You're trying to see, can I articulate it? Can I put it into words? And you will find deep down inside, when you finally get to it, you realize, I don't even know why I'm upset. I can't even explain it. Good. And that doesn't invalidate the feeling. Sometimes you don't know why you're upset. But I'm a big self-talker. Absolutely. I do it all the time. It's like learning your lines, learning your sides, learning your script. Going through it. Can I understand this? Can I explain this? Can I put it into words? Can I think of a way to ask a question in a way that's the most provocative? Can I do this? It's the most, remember I'm telling you this. I know it sounds like nothing. It's the best advice I can give you. And many of you have never done this. And you might, by the way, I am absolutely unable to do any kind of meditation. I can't. I meditate through music and things. I'm always thinking about something else. So I don't really meditate. That's how I meditate. And I'm always looking at things. I'm thinking, why do we do this? The other day when our friend died, his funeral, I was looking at this. I said, this is so the mass of the funeral mass of our friends, 103 years old. And I'm watching this and you have people, it's this, I love ceremony, pageantry, mythology and the like, going before the altar, bowing. But is the Eucharist in there? Because remember, if there's no Eucharist, then it's just the tabernacle and all that stuff. There's these rules. And I heard this thing and I haven't thought about this in a long time. Sometimes all of a sudden from the time when I was in school, and I remember masses when I was a kid, all of a sudden they started doing this. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Excuse me. Yeah. What's that? What? That thing you did. What was that? I want to say, excuse me, Who did this? Who started this? Well, we've been doing this. Why do you do this? First of all, this guy can't sing and it sounds silly. Why are you doing this? Why would you, for example, you know, very much, thank you so much. I appreciate it for being allowed to appear before the East McKeesport Zoning Commission. I'm going to be talking about a variance. And before I begin, let me say, this is a violation of Section 220 of the Municipal Code. What? Why are you doing that? Why? It's tradition. But why are you doing it? What did that do? Why are you singing something and you can't sing? I'm serious. I'm saying, do we have to keep doing it? Where'd this come from? Don't tell me it's tradition. Tradition is one of these. Tradition has to make sense. The other day, I sat around. So help me God. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing this. I said, what is this? Why do we do this? Where did this come from? I mean, oh, Mrs. Elmentine went to an event. You know, young people do this when you're not young people, but certain people, when it's like Cafe Wa. Always ask questions, no matter how obvious it seems. Ask a question and don't say, well, that's tradition. Excuse me, crystal ball, yeah. Why are you going in and why are you commandeering the faculty? Well, it's tradition. Why are you commandeering the faculty? Why are you singing? I don't know. It's tradition. It's weird. It's creepy. I know. Ask everything. It's like, what are you talking about? What is Israel supposed to do? Okay. Next, I would ask this question. Bibi, yeah, do me a favor. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Why don't you just nuke Gaza? Do you have a low yield? Why don't you do this? Why don't you start, not even a nuke, start from one end and bomb it. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, straight down. Kill them all. Just kill them all. What are you talking about? I'm serious, BB. Just kill them. Everybody in Gaza, that's where Hamas is, right? Yeah. Kill them. When you fumigate the house, you don't fumigate part of it. You fumigate. Remember, do they even fumigate houses anymore? Remember they would put the tent around the house? Remember that? Remember that? Do they? Have you ever seen the fumigation of a house lately? I haven't. Have you? Do you notice things we don't do anymore? Remember, there used to be also some guy who was like a security guy from like Orkin or whatever the company was. And he'd sit outside and wait because people would kind of come in and say, you want to break into a place where they're pumping gas to rob? But anyway, you don't fumigate part of it. You fumigate everything. So, BB, why don't you do this? Well, we can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because that's what, well, why not? It's what you're doing now. You're just doing it slowly. I'm dead serious. Let's say, come on, Crystal. Let's ask some questions. Let's get to the bottom of this. Ask him the question. That's what I want to know. What are you doing? Why don't you just kill everybody? Just say, listen, they use the people as human shields. I understand. So listen, let's just cut this out to say, I don't care whether you go. We're not, forget Rafa. Forget moving that. We're going to just wipe you out. We're going to wipe you out. Oh, you can't do that. And I ask people, do you know what the restriction they put on the people in Gaza? Dietary, how many calories per day, limitations on crackers and chocolate and notebooks. And I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. So that's another problem too. Dealing with people who don't know what the hell you're talking about. Can we get to that, please? And I love Norm Finkelstein. Enough. I got it. What's his name? Rubini, whatever. I got it. The same people over and you know the who's really creeping me out? Have you seen the fellow? They call him the John Stewart of Egypt. He's the heart surgeon, comedian. This is the weirdest. I've heard enough. I got it. Even Katie Hopper. Got it. We've hit critical mass. Where are we going next with this? Thank you. I used to have a judge who would say, anything else? Yeah, anything else? Are we done with this? Mm-hmm. What's the next step? Where do we go next with this? We're arguing the same thing. Piers Morgan, thank you. Piers Morgan is putting every lunatic he can on his show to get him to yell at each other. We have hit critical mass. What's happening next? What's happening? You're going to just destroy Gaza? Just kill every human being, every dog, chicken, man, woman, child? You lock them in, set it on fire, the whole place, just like Dresden, Tokyo. You know, well, what are you going to do then? Well, we're going to move Rafah. Well, where are they going? Come on, man. What are you doing? Where are they going? These people have nothing to do with this. And stop with this bullshit about, well, they're using human shields. We've been through that. Yes, there were human shields. Yes, but that doesn't make any sense. Now, listen, hang on. You answer that, BB. And by the way, Crystal, because I've appointed you the other side, what are you going to do? Tell me what we do next. What do we do next? That's enough. If this were any place else, Tony Blinken was saying, hey, we're coming over there. I'm coming there. I'm going to go to Tel Aviv. We're going to meet right now. I want you to bring somebody from Hamas or whoever the hell you want. Let's go. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Okay? You can't do that. The hell we can't. Edge Dweller says, with USA building a jetty, a beachhead in Gaza, that is a declaration of war by its own standard. Oh, we have been absolutely just, we've lost all our minds. Bottom line is simply this. You want a dollar from us? Yeah, that's it. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to talk. And Blinky's not going to go and wring his hands. And Joe, just tell Joe to go back and watch Matlock. He's not in charge of this stuff. That's enough of this. Next. Have you seen anything like the AIPAC? Now, I don't know if it's AIPAC or the Israeli. It's not the Jewish, but I guess you would call it the Israeli lobby. Have you seen anything like this ever? I'm thinking in the old days when the NRA was big. Oh, yeah. But I've seen nothing like this ever. And what I say is, and I mean that with all due respect, Israel has the right to petition to utilize our First Amendment, even though they're not here per se. Absolutely. There has never been. I am stunned because it's both sides, left and right, saying the same thing. That's number one. So to say it's AIPAC, I think it's too general, but let's call it the Israeli lobby. Next, the military-industrial complex lobby. How about left and right saying, we got to go in and we got to pump more money into more money into Ukraine? What are you talking about? This is beautiful. You got Rachel Maddow here and Bill O'Reilly here, and they agree. Oh, this isn't a uniparty. It's not even a party. It's a mob. Who's running the show here? I never thought I would see this in my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? I never thought I would see this in my life. Ever. I've not seen anything like that. It blows my mind. And I'm not just being cute about that. I mean it. It's like nothing I ever thought even remotely possible. Never. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I cannot. What are we doing with this? What are we doing with this? Now, I don't, protest is great. And what the people don't also realize, and this is the part that I don't. Do you remember? And I think I speak for all of us when we say, when people are spokespeople who are full of shit, okay, you realize they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm going to give you an example of something. But before I do, I want you to listen to this critical word from our critical sponsor. It's time yet again, my friends, to hail and salute our great friends at MyPillow.com. And if you use promo code Lionel, you'll get a free gift. No purchase necessary. And yes, I know a free gift. It's a tautology, so sue me. But first, listen carefully. Check out their $25 extravaganzas. Premium MyPillows, Queen and King, MyPillow 2.0, MyPillow bed sheets, the lowest price ever, sandals, slides, slippers, six-piece towel sets, four-pack dish towel sets, simply and absolutely unbelievable. So go to MyPillow.com/Lionel, MyPillow.com promo code Lionel, or call 800-645-4965. And watch how fast Mike Lindell answers the phone. MyPillow.com, simply and absolutely the best. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now, a couple of things here. Do you remember, are you old enough to remember the, I don't know if it's called the Black Liberation Movement or the, I don't know what the hell it was called, but there was a, it was like in the 60s and it was right around the time of, to an extent, it was maybe, Black Panthers or whatever. But all of a sudden, everybody out of nowhere, became Afrocentric. And I love this. Afros, glasses, dashikis, changed their name. Thomas Johnson became Mobutu Shabazz. Okay, whatever. It's a free country. You can do whatever you want. And I used to think to myself, this one doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Because he went to Central Casting and just said, do you have anything I can wear? Any African thing? Like, it's my new thing. Okay, fine. I saw it in the hippie days. I'm Moondog. I'm Star Castle. I'm this. I'm okay, fine, whatever. Everybody got into that. Everybody, you've seen people who all of a sudden, they change their focus. There was a group of people, you missed it. Do you remember the Lost Tribe of Israel? They were in New York on the street. The Lost Tribe of Israel. They were on the street of New York. It was the funniest thing. I don't know who these folks were. I have no idea. Look at this. AI, I just put in Lost Tribes of Israel. Look what AI writes. There are multiple matches for Lost Tribes of Israel in New York City, including a beer company, an Israeli restaurant, and a Black Hebrew Israelite church. That's what we're talking about. The Black Hebrew Church. That's the one. Do you remember this? Any of you New Yorkers? They're gone now. I don't know where the hell they went. One of the funniest things. Oh, here we are. Extremist, radical Hebrew Israelites, Southern Poverty Law Center. Psh. Here we go. Black Hebrew Israelites. This were a new religious movement. I think it was the year of, I don't know when. The history was, the origin of Black Hebrew came from Frank Cherry and William Saunders Crowdy, 1907, I guess. But what happened with here, you would see these folks standing in groups, and it was great to see like some poor tourist from Des Moines show up like, what are these people? And one fellow would have some headdress, some is different themes, the Anka, kind of the Egyptian, with the serpent, a staff, some kind of robe or cassock, Star Wars boots. They just pictures. And they had this poor kid who would try to read something, and he would realize he would read it, and then the elder would interpret it. This is, they would say things like, and he who is not of the word of the movement and the righteousness of the mustard seed of the covenant and the right and the tribulation forever. And the elder will say, translation, the white man is a mother. And they go, boom, and people say, oh my God. And I said, what is this? And I would sit there and say, this, and we didn't have cell phones then. It was, and these poor people would, from like Des Moines, would grab it. Come on, Rusty, let's go. We're trying to find the Forrest Gump Times Square. Who are these? It was before Forrest Gump. Anyway, and they stand there. And I always ask Rudy Giuliani, how many, if I stand in a corner and had something where we wear, I don't know, bib overalls, and I yell, the black man is a mother, I'd be off in a heartbeat. But nobody questioned it because nobody took it seriously. And these folks didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And that's what we get now. And I've seen this my whole life. And you get somebody who says, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, Crystal, that was terrific. We got a million. We got our million viewer plaque. That's great. By the way, Crystal, yeah. Can you explain to me what gives people the right to take over and to break windows of a university? I'm just saying, huh? Well, just curious. Do you want to discuss that? Well, I don't want to discuss that. Why? Because I have an answer for that. I'm like the guy with the headdress. I'm just there for people to look at me. I'm not going to spend enough time for this. That's a damn interesting question. I mean, that you. Every group has this whole thing. In the period of time, remember, in the 1920s, there were four to 5 million members of the Klan. And I'm not trying to make any juxtaposition between Crystal or Israelis or the lost Israelites. I'm just telling you, when people all of a sudden find themselves as leaders of a cause and very popular, you find out they really haven't spent a lot of time going into all the permutations of that which they're saying. It just sounds good. It sounds terrific. And I've seen this my whole life. We had a thing one time, I'll never forget this. This was in Tamil years ago. They dredged up or unearthed or brought from the sea, I don't know, some destroyed pirate ship called the Widda, W-Y-D-D-A-H or something like that. There was a guy named Black Jack Bellamy. Now listen to me. It was a slave ship. The slaves took over and became pirates. And Tampa has this thing about Gasparilla and this pirate thing. So anyway, but it was an actual archaeological find. Follow the story. It was a slave ship. The slaves did kind of a Flight 93, let's roll Todd Beamer, and they took over this ship, so the story goes. And then they basically tossed their slave masters into the drink, and they became pirates. And Black Jack Bellamy was the... A group of black activists at the time in the Tamil area, like Nefertiti Johnson, you know, all of a sudden it's like, who is this? I got a hat. What's with the hats? You're Nefertiti or you're Cleopatra Johnson. Who are these? You're Egyptian? What? I don't know. Nobody dared ask. I would always say, excuse me, before we begin, what's with the hat? Tell me what you are. I say, be showing up. I got dressed like a gondolier and a serape. What? I'm a combination Venetian gondolier and Incan warrior and, Danish or a Swedish lutefisk vendor. I'm just going to be whatever I want because historical relevance, historical reference means nothing. Because you don't have the guts to call it to my attention because you'll be called a racist. And that's the way that one works too. You just sit there going, okay, whatever. What's with the hat? Don't ask. I don't know about the hat. I don't know about the hat. What is it? I don't know. But don't they realize that the slaves won? I know, but they heard slave and that's it in the ship, but they don't want to. It's nuts. Raul Rodriguez says, the Black Israelite Hebrew are found in Harlem. Well, night could be, but remember, did you ever see them on the streets? They're just gone now. Just like termite tenting. It's just something from... Remember when you were a kid? Remember when the mosquito truck would come through your neighborhood? Remember that? With the DDT, just kids would run behind the truck, bathe the DDT. We watched the great Rachel Carlson, Carson thing on. Anyway. So here we are again, stuck in this impasse. And I'm asking the most important question in the world. Where are we going from this? Thank you, Pierce. I got it. Don't put on schmooly and junk yogurt and these other people. We got it. And Norm Finkelstein, love you. I got it. Baby Killers, got it. I understand you. Ben Shapiro, by the way. What? I did a piece coming up at 11. I could not believe what he did to Candace Owens. How stupid. It's an own goal, unforced error, just the height of stupidity. In any event, where are we going with this? Now, later on, I'm going to be doing a video, which I think is the most interesting thing in the world. And I do not talk about this with anybody. But I'm going to do my best. When you ask somebody the following question, do you believe that there are UFOs and EBEs and extraterrestrial biological entities and aliens? And do you believe that? Yes or no? Do you believe that? Do you believe in them? Yes or no? Simple. Simple. Do you believe in them? Yes or no? People will say, you'll never hear this. Well, I don't know all of the facts. I have kind of an intuitive feel for the trillions of galaxies and the likelihood that maybe there's something, but I've never seen anything. I'm not that familiar with evidence and what's been presented. I've seen close encounters. I'd like to think there were others, but I really don't know. You're never going to hear that. You're going to hear people say yes or no. Yes, I believe it. No, I don't. Then you got these people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Carl Sagan, who are gatekeepers for the NASA crew, who said, don't you ever even intimate that there might be anything to this again. Michio Kaku is not in that group because he's come forward. Okay. So then the notion becomes God. Do you believe in God? You'll never hear, well, I've got to tell you, I was raised a Baptist or raised a Jew or raised a Catholic or raised whatever. Much of our religious belief happens to be basically where you're from. If you're born in Syria or Damascus, you're probably going to be a Muslim. It's just the way it is. I mean, you could be a Christian, but probably most of the time. And if you're into Buddhism, you're technically an atheist, though I think you would certainly qualify as being spiritual. You'll never hear anything like this. You hear somebody tell you, oh, I believe in God. Absolutely. Or I don't believe in God. And you're right. There's a God. There's obviously a God. Well, this is obvious. I mean, it's just because the Bible tells me and that's it. And that's what it is, the word of the God. And that's one thing where Candace Owens decides to basically quote Christian biblical scripture to counter Jewish ideology. You know, Candace, if I didn't know better. All right. So where am I going with this? Right now, there is a discussion and there is something which has taken years and years to finally get to the mainstream culture. Michael Behe and John Lennox and Stephen Meyer and David Berlinski and David Gelernter and Peter Robinson and others have talked about this notion of disputing Darwin and disputing the notion of Darwinian mechanics and natural selection and pointing to this thing called intelligent design, parenthesis, God. God. It is so big. Recently, Tucker Carlson, bless his heart, basically came in came out and said apodictically, there is no evidence. Darwin is ridiculous. To say, okay, this is the biggest deal that just might hit. It might be the Beatles. Remember when people first heard the Beatles? One time I interviewed Dick Clark, and Dick Clark's very famous for having heard the Beatles and said, there's nothing they're going to be. But they were big. Right now, there is discussion. And Stephen Meyer, all of a sudden elevated. And he's been around forever in Gelernter. Gelernter, by the way, is a computer scientist from Yale who had his hand almost destroyed or through this Unabomber attack. Berlinski is just phenomenal. And they are discussing in a way that is so interesting and so fascinating. People for the first time saying, maybe not there's a God per se, the way you would think of it, but that there's something to intelligent design. And if intelligent design is true, then there's a God. Ipso facto, baby. Okay? Okay. Now, why is all this important? Because it's revolutionary. Absolutely revolutionary. And it's what should be covered. But it's not going to be covered because here's the thing. Nobody knows anything about Darwin. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Nobody knows what they're talking about. So it's a waste of time. You're going to get the CPAC group. You're going to get the Fox News, praise God, you know, that kind of thing. You're going to get those folks. You're going to get people who are going to point to the Bible. You don't point to the Bible to explain why there's a God. It's like saying, well, the First Amendment, why? What is the first? Why does the First Amendment make sense? Because it's the First Amendment. It's right here. No. But why is the Constitution the word? Because it's right here. No. I'm not asking where it is. They can't answer that. Because why? There's no critical thinking. None. And I told you this before. I started off with this. With all this talk about what's going on in Israel and this. Nobody ever talks about, okay, let's move beyond this. What are people supposed to do? How do you deal with Hamas? Is Hamas overrated? Is it overplayed? Is it just a group of people, their own revolutionaries, their own, are they, what? Nobody will discuss it. Nobody. And the biggest issue right now is for people to come down and to sit there and say, first of all, I don't want to bring a Catholic priest in there because you're a Catholic priest. And I know, or a rabbi or whatever. And you're going to say things because, well, I know there's a God because I have faith. I don't want to talk about faith. I don't want to talk about faith. Faith is anybody's faith. And people are going to say things like, well, nobody read Darwin. You never read Darwin. You never studied Darwin. You don't know anything about Darwin. You kind of do. But you have to listen to what people are saying, and you have to let expert people discuss expert things. And one of them is that, and they've been saying this for the longest time, it's not that there's no fossil evidence. There's fossil evidence, or there's evidence of a very kind of obvious Darwinian mechanics. The beaks of birds, fur density, plumage, color. But the Cambrian explosion 580 million years ago. Even Darwin said, I don't know what that is. All of a sudden, boom! Life plans, boom! Out of nowhere, not successive. And that's where we got to go with this. Because that, not intelligent design, but this big, very serious problem in Darwinian mechanics and natural selection might very well be that little piece of information that points to because, like I said, Berlinski is himself kind of an agnostic. You don't have to even believe in God to say, wait a minute, let's just talk about this. It may be this. Does something come from nothing and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going into it wanting the answer to be one thing or the other. When you talk to somebody who's devout, they go into it wanting the answer to be one thing or the other. They want it to be They want there to be a God, and people like Richard Dawkins and others who have devoted their entire life to making fun of people of faith, they're not going to give in. They're not going to throw their whole thing away. Uh-uh. Just like Crystal Ball ain't going to say, you know what, look, maybe they a little bit crazy with the tearing up the stuff, and you know what, maybe BB's got a little point here. No, no. You're not going to give up that position. Hell no. And you have to. The real intellect, the real critical thinker says, I'll take your point and let's put that here. Let's put it into our, you know, our issue chamber and see if it fires and see if it works. And let's work. There's no critical thinking. None. None. People will go into this thing and say, of course, Darwin's great. You don't know the first thing about Darwin. You don't know the first. Well, I know about it. No, you don't. There's this idea that, what is that? What is the name of that philosophy that says people don't know the degree of their own nescience or ignorance or whatever it is? I've never talked to so many people. My favorite is this. You know, I just think, you know, I'm not a religious person. I'm a kind of a spiritual person. What does that mean? Well, look, I just know that there's just got to be something. Why does there have to be something? Well, look, I don't really go to church. I don't really read the Bible. I just think that, is that your own idea? Or did somebody tell you that? That happens to correspond with virtually, and I hate to say it, like 90% of, I don't know, the entire human species. Do you think there may be something in the human experience that is indeed prone to believe in God, kind of a God gene? Well, look, I just think that, no, you've never thought this. You've never thought it until I brought this up. Because, like I said before, you've never described it. You've never explained it. You've never, ever. You've talked to people who agree with you, and you never discussed it. Two people agreeing with each other. It's like when both of you find a joke is funny or something is beautiful, you don't sit there and break it down and say, well, the reason why. No, you don't do that. It doesn't work like that. There's no critical thinking, and you're missing everything. You're missing the greatest time ever. And I recognize that as wonderful as the internets are, and as wonderful, there are some pockets of it. Again, Rogan and Friedman, God bless them. At least they have arcane subject matter, and they know to get out of the way. And I'm so pleased and so seriously honored about this. It still is the rarity. People do not care for this way of thinking. They want to have their own idiosyncrasies, their own beliefs, their own biases confirmed, and they don't want to think. They don't want to think. None. We don't know how to think. We don't understand it. We hate thinking. I was talking to somebody the other day about deep fakes. Well, we got to pass a law about deep fakes, but deep fakes are fakes. Have you seen the pictures going around? It's Lauren Boebert and AOC in stockings or whatever. It's AI. They're not real. It's not real. Though I'm sure both of them secretly would be honored if either maybe they do look like that. I don't know if they look like that or if they thought you look, whatever it was. It's not two fat slobs. It's two. Okay. So somebody said, we have to pass a law against this. Pass a law against fake portrayals? You mean parodies? Is that going to be next? Parodies? Remember National Lampoon? You want to pass a law against a parody about a cartoon? Well, no, this is different. Why is it different? Well, because, you know, no thinking. Nobody ever thought for the moment, like, well, what am I supposed to do? It's what is it really? Maybe it's libel. That's what I suggest. It should be brought under a theory of libel because it's a false statement. It's not. And you have people who want to throw away the First Amendment because they figure, well, because I've said too much, my friends. I've said too much, and I'm sorry for this. I've said too much. Now, Mrs. L has a channel, and she has one of the best. She's far more, dare I say, kind than I am. But all of a sudden, here comes Oprah Winfrey and others who say, hey, we got to look after kids. This is Mrs. L's channel right there. This is it. If you click on this link, it'll go right to her subscription. All of a sudden, and I'm going to tell you something, and this is my opinion and not hers. There are people in the, quote, child whatever world who, so help me God, have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I think, just like in the Republican and political worlds as well, they couldn't find any, I guess, I don't know, the African Violet Society was booked or something. So they said, well, I'm going to get involved in something. Hey, this looks interesting. Hey, this is school. How's that? Child advocacy? Yeah, it's all good. Okay, count me in. What do I know about it? I don't know about it. I just want you to know that I'm talking about it. Remember these words. Say this word, pedophile. Just say that. Okay, what else? Say this all the time. All right, that's it. Yeah. Bring up Wayfair. Bring up pedophile. Okay, got it. Okay, good. And that's it. And then all of a sudden, here's Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey. Somewhere, if ever you had to go to the high priestess of the shadow government, whatever, she's there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here come these folks. Here come these folks. Now, if I don't get 700 likes out of this, there's something very wrong here. There's something very wrong here. I appreciate your likes, but this is not going to work. I've given you this morning an hour and 7 minutes of my day. An hour and 7 minutes so far of my Saturday morning. That's it. An hour and 7 minutes. An hour. That's over 2 half-hour shows. I don't have to tell you that, obviously, mathematically. And not only that, provided the meeting place. Think of this like AA for the intellectually addicted, where we have a meeting. And to provide the crumb cake in the meeting room and everything so you all can meet and listen to me opine and meet your friends and all that stuff. An hour and 7 minutes, hour and 8 minutes. And hit the like button. Maybe that's me. And I mean that sincerely. All right, folks. I love you. By the way, let's go back and tell our friends, Andy. Happy birthday, dear Andy. Happy birthday, dear friend. Happy birthday, dear friend. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another year spinning about the sun. May you live as long as you want and never want as long as you live. Thank you, dear friend. And we'll see you. Now, by the way, remember, follow Mrs. L one more time right here. This is the link. This is it. Remember, she is OG, my friend. She was been there before, well, I'll leave it at that. Now, make sure tonight, don't know about, might not be seven, might, I don't know what. So make sure you have your channel linked in and connected, because I may just go live at 3 o'clock just to get something out of the way. And if you don't, if you're not subscribed, and if you don't hit the like button, and if your little bell, the notification thing is not lit, I don't know what to tell you. All right, dear friends, have a great and glorious day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, 57 degrees in New York City. Nice and sunny, kind of, sorta. We'll see you later. Have a great day. And don't forget, the monkey's dead. The show's over. Sue you. That.